Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Bay Presbyterian Church. It's good to see all of you. Man. Welcome, welcome. I think we've all crowded in okay. Thank you, Pastor. As we prepare to come to the table of the Lord Jesus, I invite you to give your attention to God's Word. It's found in John chapter 20. We'll look at verses 24 through 29. Actually, 31. We'll go ahead and read those final two verses of the chapter. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 24. Hear the word of the Lord. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And as the grass withers and the flower fades, we know the word of the Lord stands forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached. Amen. And so we called him Doubting Thomas. But when the Lord called him, he came. Don't you doubt him for a minute. He answered the call and he followed the Lord, and he was with Jesus and the disciples as one of the disciples throughout the course of the Lord's earthly ministry. And don't ever forget that when Jesus received the report that Lazarus was sick, having delayed 2 days, until the point that Lazarus had died, Jesus said in no uncertain terms, they were going to where Lazarus was. And all the disciples knew that the Jews had already tried to stone him to death. And going back to that location in such proximity to Jerusalem was like saying, "I'm going to die." And of course he was. But it was Thomas who said, "Then come. Let us go die with him." Doesn't sound like a man who doubts. It sounds like a man who very much is focused on the immediate experience. And he's ready to jump in where angels fear to trod. But being a man who is caught up in circumstances, because he was not with the disciples when Jesus appeared, having been raised from the dead on the first day of the week so long ago, Thomas was not with them and he did not witness the resurrected and living Christ. There's something to be said there about missing out. We don't know why Thomas was not in attendance on that day, but he wasn't. And having not been there, he missed out. And it was Thomas who emphatically said, "Unless I see with my eyes, unless I'm able to put my finger in the nail prints of his hand, put my hand in his side, I will never believe." Amazing, isn't it? Emphatic in his unbelief. But what we see in this passage is that a man who was absolutely emphatic in his unbelief came to the place where he was just as emphatic in faith as he acknowledged the Lord Jesus to be who he was. And I simply want to point out to you that Thomas's problem was not a lack of evidence. There was an empty tomb outside of Jerusalem. There were eyewitnesses testifying. There were the women. There were the other disciples who were able to say, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas had been with them 3 years. He knew he could trust their word and testimony. The combination of the empty tomb, the testimony about the Lord Christ, there was no lack of evidence. What Thomas lacked was experience. He had not himself seen the Lord and experienced him. There was plenty of evidence pointing to a resurrected and living Savior. And so it is in this passage where we see it isn't the evidence of nail prints that convinces Thomas it is the presence of the Lord that changes his life. But notice how the Lord Jesus pursues those who belong to him, save and keep them. You know, it could have been at a point like this. The Lord said, sorry, Thomas, you weren't there. He dismissed out. But he doesn't. When he comes back 8 days later, which is a way of saying a Jewish reckoning, the very next Sunday, so we already see the precedent of gathering on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, just like we're doing now, in recognition of the resurrection of the Lord Christ, he appeared to them and he spoke directly to Thomas. Do you recognize what a loving and gracious act that is on the part of the Lord Jesus? That he didn't leave Thomas in his doubt. He didn't leave him in unbelief. He spoke to him directly. Said, Thomas, reach out your finger. Put your hand right here. By the way, there's no record of Thomas doing either of those things. You see, it wasn't the nail prints that convinced him. It was the resurrected and living Lord Jesus. And so I simply want to say to you, to those of you who may be wavering, to those of you who may be doubting, to those of you who may be wondering, there's ample evidence. The testimony concerning Jesus exceeds that of any other historical character in all of antiquity. If we cannot believe that Jesus is an historical person as he is presented in the New Testament, you can't believe that Alexander the Great ruled an empire and conquered all of the known world at the time, because the evidence concerning Alexander the Great is scant concerning what we have regarding the Lord Jesus. Testimony from not only believers but unbelievers. So if you're wavering, I suggest to you, it's not because of a lack of evidence. It is because you simply haven't experienced who Jesus really is. And so we see him being that good shepherd who seeks and saves that which is lost. Being the good shepherd is John 10:14, Jesus testifying, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. The shepherd has 100 sheep. One goes astray. He leaves the 99. He goes seeking after the lost one. Jesus seeks after Thomas. In John 17:12, when he prays his high priestly prayer, he says to the Father, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Judas, who was never really of them, is the son of destruction, but Jesus keeps those who are his own. And Thomas is one of his own, and so he comes and pursues him and secures him. We see that in Thomas' confession of faith, that publicly and reverently confessing the Lord Jesus as he really is, confessing his deity, glorifies God. This is not some act of taking the Lord's name in vain. I actually read where a commentator said that. This was just an exclamation of, like somebody would say God's name in vain, being surprised at something, like we see everywhere all the time now. But that's not true. This is a profession of faith. This is an exclamation of conviction. My Lord and my God. We've used the Nicene Creed this morning, this ancient creed which doesn't come from Scripture, but its truths are derived from Scripture, and we use that as a confession of faith to acknowledge Christ for who he really is, and that glorifies God. When you praise the name of Jesus, when you worship him, and when you bow down, and when you acknowledge him to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when you surrender your life to him, turning away from sin and trusting in Christ, you are glorifying the ever-living God because he has given us the Lord Christ. He preserved the Lord Christ during his earthly ministry right up until the time that he laid down his life. And Jesus laid down his life voluntarily. No one took it from him. And God the Father accomplished all the purposes of redemption in the Lord Jesus. And when we praise his name and when we worship him, we are glorifying God. That's what Thomas did. Remember how back in Matthew 16, Simon Peter, having heard the question when Jesus said, who do people say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah. Some say John the Baptist. Some say one of the prophets. But then Jesus narrowed the focus and said, but who do you? Remember, if he were in the southern United States, he would have said, who do y'all say that I am? And Peter answered the whole group, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Acknowledging Christ as God is acknowledging truth that has been revealed from heaven. And finally, God blesses, graciously blesses, all who trust in His Word and believe in His Son. Jesus said to Thomas, essentially, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen, have not had the opportunity to see the Lord Jesus physically in front of them, to be able to witness the nail prints and see that, in fact, this is the resurrected Lord Christ, but yet have believed the testimony of God. That's all of us. Believing God's testimony, believing the irrefutable evidence, believing His Word, and there is blessing in that. Later on, when John writes letters to the churches, 1 John chapter 5, for example, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. Now think about that. Think about things that we are willing to accept as true because of the testimony of people. Whether we believe, as I alluded to last week, in historical figures, and you can fill in the blanks as to who those are, whether it's that Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president, or whether Harriet Tubman operated a portion of the Underground Railroad, or whether one of my heroes, Maria Thierry, having been an African-American enslaved person who came out of that experience and pursued an education, so much so that she was able to teach, and then God called her to the mission field in Africa, even though the church refused to recognize her calling and didn't support her. She went anyway at her own expense and started churches in Africa. One of my heroes. And yet, having lived and died and now before the face of the Father, an historical figure, but Jesus ever lives as He enters into our lives and transforms us and changes us. God's testimony concerning His Son is greater than the testimony of people concerning events and individuals. He has borne this testimony concerning His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning His Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Assurance. To be assured that we have everlasting life. That's why the Scriptures are here, and that's why God has testified, and I suggest to you that that's why this account of Thomas is in the Bible. The one that we would deride and call Doubting Thomas is an example to all of us, because I believe we're him. Left to our own intellectual capabilities, we would have said like Thomas. No. He died on that cross. He was placed in a tomb. It is scientifically impossible for anybody to come back from the dead. And unless I see and touch and feel, unless I'm able to do all of that, I will never believe. And then suddenly, Jesus is there, and His whole life is turned upside down. And He confesses and acknowledges, "My Lord and my God." My prayer is that the Lord Jesus will reveal Himself to you in His power and His glory, that you will come away with an unassailable conviction. He is my Lord. He is my God. He is my Savior. And even if the whole world fails to acknowledge Him, I will never turn from you. You know, tradition tells us, tradition, not the Bible, tells us that Thomas went all the way to present-day India and preached the Lord Jesus Christ and was martyred there, murdered as a follower of Christ. I don't know about you, but after a man has done that, I sort of hesitate to call him a doubting Thomas. I tend to think of him as one who the Lord loved and graciously came after to ensure that his own would remain secure and in the fold. And it gives me confidence today to know I am in the fold and I am kept here. because the Lord Jesus loves me and will not let me go. And He'll do that for me. I have every confidence. He'll do that for anyone who trusts in Him. To the glory of His name, let's pray. Father in heaven, we do praise You and thank You for Your gracious kindness and goodness to us, for Your word. Thank You, Father, for the opportunity now as we come to the table of our Lord Jesus to celebrate the One who has given His life for us, who has been raised for us, who has ascended and is seated at Your right hand, interceding for us, whose return we long for. Oh, Father, bless us, we pray, to know Your Son and have confidence in Him. For we pray in His name. Amen.